You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast. All you lovely ladies out there, wishing you all a very happy Women's Day. Welcome back to CNBCTV18.com. This is your host, Kanishka Sarkar, and you are listening to the Top News Podcast. I'm back here with the latest on Russia-Ukraine crisis, RBI's new UPI payments platform, stock markets, assembly elections, energy prices, and more. First up, here's how the market fared on March 8th. The market snapped a four-day losing streak. Financial and IT stocks gained, whereas metal and select oil and gas stocks lost. Investors globally remained cautious, tracking news flow on the Russia-Ukraine war. Sensex rose 581 points to end at 53,420, whereas Nifty 50 settled above 16,000, which is up 150 points from its previous close. Indian Oil, Sun Pharma, Tata Consumer, Cipla, TCS, Tech Mahindra, and Dr. Reddy's were among the top gainers, whereas Hindalco, ONGC, Tata Steel, JSW Steel, Britannia, UPL, and Nestle were among the worst hit. Paytm shares, meanwhile, hit a fresh low today and plunged more than 65% below their issue price in just 4 months of listing. The stock slipped 2.8% from its previous close to an all-time low of 732 rupees. It ended the day 1.9% lower at 739 rupees. Oil and gas stocks were also in focus today as oil prices gyrated as Ukraine peace talks made a little headway and the prospect of a ban on oil imports from Russia triggered investor fears over inflation and slowing economic growth. Nifty oil and gas was down about 1%, dragged by Adani Total Gas, which fell close to 5%. ONGC fell 3.7%, while GAIL was down 2.26%. Indraprastha Gas Limited shares, meanwhile, gained close to 10%. Mahanagar Gas was up 8%, whereas Gujarat Gas gained 6.5%. Moving on to the latest on Russia-Ukraine crisis. According to reports, Russian forces are preparing to attack Kyiv in the coming days. A US military think tank believes that Russian forces are concentrating in the eastern, northwestern, and western outskirts of Kyiv for an assault on the capital in the coming 24 to 96 hours. Russian forces, plagued by logistics problems, have hardly advanced recently, but the think tank said that they are bringing up supplies, reinforcements, as well as conducting artillery, air, and missile attacks to weaken defenses and intimidate defenders in advance of such an assault. Meanwhile, Ukraine has begun evacuating civilians from the northeastern city of Sumy and from the town of Irpin near Kyiv. The evacuations began after Russia and Ukraine officials agreed to establish humanitarian corridors to allow civilians out of some towns and cities besieged by Russian forces. Also, the Indian government has said that evacuation of around 600 Indian students stranded in Ukraine's Sumy has started. The government said that all 694 Indian students who were stranded there have left for Poltava in buses. On the trade front, government sources have told PTI that India may consider alternative payment mechanisms for exporters if the Russia-Ukraine conflict continues for a long time and key trade sectors such as gems and jewelry face a problem in international cash transfer. This consideration comes following sanctions imposed by Western countries, including the Group of Seven, that is G7 economies. Moving on to more updates on the domestic front. Reserve Bank of India today launched a unified payments interface, that is UPI. It's called UPI 123 Pay. This works on feature phones, and the central bank also launched a 24/7 helpline for digital payments platform DigiSathi. This means that people who do not have a smartphone or internet connection will also be able to make digital payments. RBI Governor Shaktikanta Das said that UPI 123 Pay will help achieve financial inclusion. He said the platform makes facilities under UPI accessible to that section of the society which was so far excluded from the digital payments landscape. Meanwhile, DigiSathi is a helpline for digital payments with facilities to educate and create awareness. Well, here's another update related to the RBI. Economists say that they will keep an eye on generalized inflation and they expect RBI to hike rates in October. According to Samiran Chakrabarty, who's the chief economist at Citi, said that RBI could go through with a price rise unless it starts becoming generalized. Moving on to the latest on NSC co-location scam. After arresting Chitra Ramakrishna and Anand Subramanian, CBI will now focus on the roles of other NSC officials and brokers. According to CBI sources, the investigation so far has revealed that NSC and SEBI officials were bribed by the accused OPG Securities, which is a possible reason that they turned a blind eye to the irregularities at the co-location facility. Once Chitra was appointed as the MD and CEO in 2013, the NSC stopped issuing warnings to OPG Securities to stop violating co-location facility guidelines of NSC. Sources told CNBC TV 18 that the role of CTO of NSC, Muralidharan Natarajan, is also under scanner. He was responsible for putting in place the architecture of the co-location facility and was reporting to Chitra. Chitra has already blamed her subordinates for the irregularities. So, to find out if Muralidharan had any involvement in the scam will be an important aspect of Chitra's interrogation. Next up, a future group entities, that is Future Retail, Future Enterprises, Future Lifestyle Fashions, Future Supply Chain Solutions, etc. They've called for shareholder meetings next month on April 20th to seek approval for the 24,000 crore deal with Reliance Industries. Last month, the National Company Law Tribunal, that is NCLT, had allowed Future Group to call for the shareholder meetings while also dismissing Amazon's petition objecting to the deal. Lastly, here's the latest on assembly elections. So the ballots have been cast, the voters have had their word across 5 states, and the exit polls are also out. The exit polls suggest a clean sweep for Bharatiya Janata Party in Uttar Pradesh, bucking the anti-incumbency trend. Punjab seems set to be won by the Aam Aadmi Party, while the state of Uttarakhand is likely to see a photo finish between Congress and the BJP. Meanwhile, in Goa, a day after the exit polls predicted a hung assembly, hectic political activities have begun, with the Congress focusing on keeping its flock together and plans to shift all its candidates to a resort, according to a senior party leader. On the other side, Chief Minister Pramod Sawant met Prime Minister Narendra Modi today in New Delhi, while other senior Goa BJP leaders are planning to meet their state poll-in-charge Devendra Fadnavis in Mumbai. The Congress in Goa, whose strength in the outgoing assembly reduced to just 17, over the last 5 years, with some of its legislatures switching over to the BJP, is leaving no stone unturned to keep its bloc intact. With that, we end this podcast. But before I sign out, here's an opportunity where we will listen to you. In case you have any queries or suggestions, please do write to us on CNBC TV 18 podcast at nw18.com. I'll be back tomorrow evening with the top stories from around the world. Till then, stay tuned to CNBCTV18.com for all the latest updates. Thank you for listening.